Welcome to The Story Mine, the show that promotes storytelling in all its wonderful glory. I'm Kathy Barker, and I'm sitting here with my co-host,
David Bullock.
Today, our show is all about teeth.
Oral health.
Last week, on Thursday, March 20th, was the World Oral Health Day, and it just got Dave and I to thinking about our teeth and all the wonderful adventures we've had at the dentist.
That's right, and to celebrate World Oral Health Day, I brushed my teeth.
But Dave, did you floss?
Did I floss? I guess I'll have to do it on the 20th of March from now on. Did you know that 90% of the world's population will suffer from oral disease in their lifetime?
Well, that's a tremendous percentage.
That's the reason that they started the World Oral Health Day. It's to promote good oral hygiene. So remember, brush, floss, rinse, and chew. In celebration of oral health, Kathy and I dug real deep in the story mine to find a story about a dentist. And we did.
Our storyteller today is Bill Lepp. Bill Lepp is an internationally known storyteller, a 5-time champion of the West Virginia Liars Contest. He has outrageous tall tales and has told in venues across the nation. He's also appeared for Comedy Central.
Here's Bill Lepp with his story of why he loves his dentist.
I love my dentist. I know that it is a strange thing to say, but I admit it in public whenever I can. I love my dentist. He's the most empathetic medical professional I've ever encountered in my whole life. About a year ago, I ate supper, and then I was eating dessert, and I was having some M&Ms. And I bit down on an M&M with my back molar, and something happened. I don't know exactly what happened, but it felt like somebody just took a nail gun and shot a 16-penny nail into my jaw. I know that's not the most unique description of a toothache, but that is exactly how it felt. And I couldn't do anything. It was evening. Paula, my wife, got on the phone just to see if there was anyone open who could see me that late in the evening. But there weren't any dentists open, and so she got on the internet, and she looked up natural painkillers, and she found out that garlic is a natural analgesic, and so it works, man. She took a clove of garlic, she cut it in half, I put one half on the outside of my jaw, and one half on the inside of my jaw, and it burned, but I'm telling you, it killed the pain. And I laid on the couch for the next 12 hours just cramming garlic into my mouth, trying to stop the horrible pain. No one would come near me, but I didn't really want company at that point anyway. And in the morning, Paula got on the phone again. She started calling around to dentists, but again, nobody would see me because I wasn't a pre-existing patient. And I thought, aren't all healthy people pre-existing patients until something comes along, and then you're an existing patient? But no one would see me, and I haven't been to the dentist for a long time. I didn't have a dentist because, I don't have dental insurance. And so my wife and I spend all of our money to send our children to the dentist, and we just kind of have to suffer without dental care. But she finally got a hold of Dr. Lambert down in South Charleston, and he agreed to see me. And I went in, and I lay back in the chair, and I just knew when the doctor came in that he was going to give me some sort of condescending speech about how terrible my oral hygiene had been and how I should have been taking care of myself better, and he was going to be sanctimonious and I was going to have to suffer through all of that as well as any ministrations he was going to do to my tooth. And as soon as he came in the door, I said, "Doc," I said, "I got to tell you, I admit I haven't taken care of my teeth very well for the past decade. And, so this is where I am, but please, please help me." And he came over and he said, as he was bending down and I was opening my mouth and 12 hours of garlic fumes were being released into his face, he never even flinched. He just looked down into my mouth and he said, "Well, I got to tell you, when I was younger, I really didn't take care of my teeth that well either." And I thought, what a nice thing to say. That was so empathetic. And it right away, my tooth felt better before he had done anything to it. Just that expression of kindness. And so I lay back. And he took care of it. His kindness really helped the medicine go down, or in this case, helped the tooth come out. And I don't know what he had done to his teeth earlier in his life. I guess I got the feeling from that statement that maybe he was like a born-again dentist, you know? He was some sort of second-career dentist, like a street-hardened biker who becomes a preacher. And then, but when you go to see a preacher like that, they really do understand where you're coming from. You can sit down with that biker preacher and say, well, you know, the other night me and Tommy were riding down the road, and of course we'd been drinking a little bit, and we hadn't slept for 36 hours, but I'm telling you, there was a boat coming at us down the road. And so we got out a gun and we shot it, you know? It's not the sort of thing you can confess to any clergy member, but that ex-biker guy, you know, he'll get a smile on his face at the story like that, and he'll say, yeah, that reminds me of the time that me and little Jimmy Stovepipe, and then he'll remember who he is now and where he is in a church, and he'll have to quit telling you that story. But it does. It's just so nice. So now I brush gently, floss regularly, and I go to the dentist like I go to church, which is to say devoutly, but still not quite as often as I should. Going to the dentist is kind of like changing your oil on schedule, because if you just miss one day, you know, you're just a few miles late, then you think, well, I'll just change it in a couple days, and then you keep not changing it, and then you forget about it, and then something drastic and expensive happens. So that, I was ready to not be in that situation any longer. So I was at the dentist just the other day before I came down here, and Krista, the hygienist, she took me in the room, and she just did a regular cleaning, and then I had to get some routine x-rays done. So Krista got me up, and she led me out of the room I had been into and into the room where they have the x-ray machine. And she sat me down in the chair, a little reclining chair, and she put the lead apron on me, and she Velcroed it behind my neck, and then she took that little plastic film thingy, and she stuck it back there in my mouth, and she told me to, she said, bite down on this, don't move, and don't get out of the chair. And then she left the room and she shut the door, and I heard the camera was right beside my face, I heard the camera go click, and then I expected Krista to come back in the room, but Krista didn't come back in the room, and I waited a little bit longer. And I waited a little bit longer. And then I started to get a little bit nervous because I knew I'd heard the camera click. I was sure of it. But then I started to doubt myself. And I thought, well, maybe I hadn't heard the camera click and she was just waiting for me to smile the right way to take my picture. Or I thought, maybe this is some sort of slow exposure x-ray camera where it clicks and then it exposes you. And I thought, no, that's stupid because x-rays are dangerous. You know, they wouldn't expose it to you slowly. And then I thought that maybe, you know, that camera was leaking radiation into my face the whole time I was sitting there and I was getting really nervous. And then I thought, well, maybe something had happened to Krista. Maybe when Krista had pressed the button to take my picture, she'd been electrocuted. Or maybe she'd fallen and hit her head, or maybe she'd been eaten by a giant Venus flytrap. I mean, all of these terrible scenarios were going through my head, and I was getting more and more upset laying there. And I wanted to scream, but I couldn't open my mouth because she told me to clamp down on that thing. And I didn't want to mess anything up, didn't want to have to go through all of this again. So I just sat in the chair, and finally I closed my eyes, and I tried to calm down. I took a couple of deep breaths, and then when I was calmed down a little bit, I could hear voices in the room beside me. I could hear Dr. Lambert's voice, and I could hear Krista's voice, and I could hear another patient's voice, and by the tone of his voice, he was clearly in agony. And I realized that some dental emergency had come up, and this poor guy was in the other room, and from what I could tell, he was going through something very similar as to what I had gone through a year ago, and he was in great pain, and they were in there administering to him, and I thought, well, I should be thankful that I'm not in pain anymore and that I've come through this whole thing, and I should be thankful on that man's behalf that he has such a good dentist and a hygienist to take care of him. So I thought, I'll just relax and let them take care of that. So I sat in the chair and I waited some more, and then I started to get a little bit bored. And then I started to get a little bit more bored. And my jaw hurt because I was clenching on that little film thingy so hard. And I was looking around the room. The camera was right beside my face. And then on this side of the chair was that tray where all of the little pointy, sharp, scrapey dental things were aligned on that tray. And then there was the little sink that's attached to the chair. And it had a faucet that kind of came up like this and a faucet that went over this way. And each one of those faucets had a different button. You could press this button and water would come out of this one and press this button. And that was fun for a while. I was trying to like... trying to make the water shoot out in the rhythm of a song or something like that. And then hanging on that sink was a water gun. And this wasn't a child's toy water gun. This was a dental water gun. And this thing shot a stream of water. It was like a laser of water that could remove decades of impacted plaque. And trust me, I know. And I thought, I want to play with that water gun. I just wanted to shoot it just once, because I knew that laser beam, I could probably put a hole in the drywall. And I thought, I should just shoot it once. And then I thought, nah, you know what? As soon as I pick that gun up, Dr. Lambert's going to come in the room. And no matter how empathetic he is, he's not going to be happy if I'm shooting holes in his drywall. So I just left the pistol alone. I looked around some more, and then I noticed that behind me on the floor was that foot pad that the dentist uses to press with his foot, and that causes the chair to rise up or to descend. And I thought, well, that's pretty neat. So I just kind of reached back, and I pushed one of the buttons, and the chair started to descend. And it lowered down maybe a foot, and then it kind of clunked to a stop. And I thought, that was fun. I'll press another button. And so I pressed another button, and now the chair started to ascend. It started to rise up, and I thought, this is pretty neat. And then I thought it was going to get to a certain place, and it would stop ascending. But apparently it was like one of those automatic windows in your car where you hit the button and it goes all the way down, and you hit the button again and it comes all the way back up. And if you want it to stop somewhere in between, you have to hit the button again. So I thought, well, I better press the button again. And I reached to press it, but now the chair had ascended so high that I couldn't reach the button anymore. So the chair was just going up, 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 and the tray and the sink, they were connected to the chair, and the camera was connected, it was following me up, and I was still biting down on that thing as hard as I could, and I wanted to cry for help, but again, I was afraid to take that little plastic thingy out of my mouth, because I didn't know what it would do. Maybe it would release some sort of dental toxin into my system, and Chris did, and I thought about jumping, but I was kind of in an awkward position. It would have been hard to jump from where I was, and plus Krista had said, stay in your seat, and I has been bred into me through years of public school. You know, when somebody says, stay in your seat, you stay in your seat. So I'm just riding this chair up. And I thought, well, I got to stop it soon, because if I don't, I'm going to get smashed into the ceiling. And so I looked over at that tray with all the little pointy things on it, and I picked one up, and I sort of aimed behind me. I was just going to try and drop a pointy thingy on one of those buttons, hopefully to stop my ascent. And I turned it upside down so the blunt end was facing down. I didn't want to poke the foot pedal. And I kind of aimed behind me, and I dropped it, and it missed. And about halfway down, the pointy thingy inverted, so the pointy end was down, and it stuck in the linoleum, kind of like, twang, you know. So if I had to stop my ascent, so I picked up another little pointy thingy, and I aimed it again. But I was aiming backwards over my shoulder. It was like trying to drop a dart on a target, and I dropped it, and again it inverted about halfway down. That little pointy thing hit right in a button, just stuck right in a button. Unfortunately, it wasn't the stop the ascent button. It was the start the recline button. So now, as I was riding up, the chair began to lower backwards, 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 and it wasn't stopping. I think I must have broken it when I stuck the pokey thingy right through the button, and the chair just kept going back, and pretty soon I was level, and then I wasn't level any longer. Now my back was getting lower than my feet, and I guess the chair reclines that far so the dentist can come in and look at the top or the bottom of your top teeth, but it was just going, going, going down, and I thought, oh, this is bad. And I was holding on to the armrest as hard as I could so I wouldn't slide out of the chair, and then that lead apron that probably weighed 20 pounds, it started to ride up my chest, and then it slid off my shoulder. Now it was like a cape, but it wasn't like a cape that was helping me fly. It was a 20-pound lead cape that wanted to pull me down to the bottom of the floor like a fishing weight, you know? And I was holding on as hard as I could, and the chair was still going up, and it was still reclining, and I was probably at about a 35-degree angle, and I thought, well, if a roofer came by and put shingles in a chimney on me, I'd make a finely pitched roof, but still... Still, we were going up, and a quarter and a couple of nickels rolled out of my pocket and down my chest and bounced off my chin. And now I was thinking that I was really glad I wasn't at my physician's office, or even worse, my urologist's office, because if I'd been in either one of those places, I would have been wearing one of those little flimsy gowns, or possibly even naked. And if I was going to be crushed against the ceiling in a medical office, I didn't want to be naked when it happened. And then... Then I thought, I don't even think you're supposed to get naked at the dentist. I think if your dentist says to you, go out of the room and take your clothes off, you should find another dentist at that point. But I was desperate, and then my keys came out of my pocket, and they almost impaled me in my chin, but I managed to dodge my head just in time, and I was deathly afraid that my Swiss Army knife was going to fall out of my pocket, because that thing weighs about 6 pounds. It would have just knocked my head right off, and the chair was still going up, and I was still starting to recline, and now I was starting to sort of slide out of the chair backwards, because the 20-pound lead weight was pulling me down, plus gravity, and I sort of wished I was naked, because if I had been naked, it was a warm day, my skin would have stuck to the vinyl seat to help hold me in place, and finally the bed made it all the way to the ceiling, and my toes banged into the ceiling, and then the chair stopped. And then it started to descend just a little bit. Then it went back up and banged into the ceiling again, and it wouldn't stop, and it just kept not stopping, banging into the ceiling, coming down. And now I had these slip-on shoes on, and they got bounced off my feet, so they rolled down onto the floor, and I'm still bouncing. I was trying everything I could to stop, and I was picking up tool after tool and dropping it at those buttons, and now the whole thing was ringed with little pointy things around it in a linoleum. I took a whole handful of them and dropped them like a shotgun shot, just trying anything I could, and then I started to slide out of the seat some more, and I probably would have come all the way out, except fortunately I had my wallet in my pocket. Now, I'm one of those people that try as I might, I cannot keep my wallet thin, and it's not stuffed with money. If it were stuffed with money, I wouldn't be complaining. It's just full of old receipts and business cards and all kinds of stuff that I just collect. So my wallet's about that thick, and when I put it in my pocket and sit down, I'm usually sitting like this. So generally when I sit down, I take it out and put it beside me, but because I was just, I was going from the one room to the other, I stuck it in my pocket. The x-ray was supposed to just take a second, so I'd left it in my pocket, and now I was glad that I had, because as I started to slide out of the seat, my wallet caught in some sort of crevice, and it just kind of anchored me into the chair. And I still had both hands like that. Now I was just reaching for the button. There was no way I was going to be able to touch that button with my hand. If someone asked me later, well, did you try and press the button? I wanted to be able to say, yes, I tried to press the button. But I overextended, and that was bad, because I started to slide a little bit more, and something gave at my waist, and now my wallet was still jammed into the crevice, and my pants were still jammed, but I was now starting to slide out of my pants. I was desperate now, so finally I thought, well, I'm just going to have to do something with this water gun, and I picked up the water gun, and I was trying to aim it and shoot one of the buttons, but I was bouncing up and down like this. I was already inclined, and I'm trying to shoot back over my shoulder. I was having a terrible time hitting anything. And then I looked over, and I noticed the intercom on the wall. And I thought, well, maybe if I can shoot the intercom button, I can call the receptionist. So I put the gun in my other hand, and I was bouncing up and down, upside down, trying to shoot. And sure enough, I shot, and that laser beam, just as I thought, it put a hole right through the drywall. I mean, that stuff is tough. And finally, I did manage to hit the call button, and the receptionist said, may I help you? And I said, I still had that thing in my mouth. She said, the dentist will be in to see you shortly. And as soon as she quit saying that, something happened with that water gun. I don't know if the bouncing up and down had jerked the hose off of the water gun or if the pressure had built up, but the hose erupted. And now there was water spraying all over the room. And the hose was dancing back and forth like a loose fire hose, just showering the room with water. And I don't know if it's because I was wet now or the angle or what, but I finally came completely out of my pants and started sliding down off the chair toward the floor. And I would have hit head first, except I did manage to catch the back of my knee on the armrest. So I was hanging upside down in my underwear, soaking wet, dental tools scattered all over the floor, water spraying everywhere, when the door opened and Dr. Lambert came in. And he walked over to the chair. And he didn't say anything. He just kind of kicked some of the dental tools out of the way, pressed the correct button on the foot pedal, and the chair started to descend. And when it got low enough, I sort of righted myself in it, and I opened my mouth, and he pulled out that little film canister, and he said, everything looks good here. And then, like any good doctor would, he said, I'll leave the room while you get dressed. And that is why I love my empathetic dentist. Thank you.
I'm very glad I never had that experience at my dentist.
And we love our dentist, too, don't we, Kathy?
You bet. I go every 6 months for a cleanup.
I think it's called a spit shine.
Oh, Dave, I have a suggestion for good oral health.
What's that?
Eat peanut butter.
Peanut butter?
That's right, and here's Ed Stivender to tell you how to eat peanut butter.
Did you ever have peanut butter stuck to the roof of your mouth? You know, you eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and the jelly slides right down, but the peanut butter stays stuck to the roof of your mouth. How do you get peanut butter off the roof of your mouth? There are three ways to get peanut butter off the roof of your mouth. You can yick it off. You can blow it off. Or you can take your finger and scrape it off. How do you get peanut butter off your finger? There are three ways to get peanut butter off your finger. You can shake it off. You can blow it off. Or you can put your finger in your mouth and yick it off. How do you get peanut butter off the roof of your mouth? There are three ways to get peanut butter off the roof of your mouth. You can yank it off. You can blow it off. Or you can take your finger and scrape it off. How to get peanut butter off your finger? There are three ways to get peanut butter off your finger. You shake it off. You can blow it off. Or if you have a tie, you can put it in the hole in the tie. And that's why I always wear a tie to dinner.
Now that I know how to eat peanut butter, I'm going to have some every day.
And I'm going to start wearing a tie.
Dave and I would like to thank Bill Lepp and Ed Stivender for allowing us to share their stories. Here at the Story Mine, we love to tell stories, and we hope you enjoy listening to our program every week.
If you have a story to share, contact us at thestorymine@gmail.com.
And remember, everyone has a story to share.
Goodbye. Goodbye.